Mackay Christian family. It has been just an absolute joy to be with you guys this morning and also tonight for this encounter night. I want to take a moment just to thank and to honor your senior pastors, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise. Aren't they awesome? Thank you guys so much for having me and for everything that you've shared over my life. I really love you guys and appreciate you guys, and I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in this place. I'm excited about the people that the Lord is raising up. Even just in the worship, I felt like the Lord was talking to me about some Elishas in this room who were taking on the mantle, the double portion anointing in the room. And so just at the end of tonight, we want to just move into a time of prophecy and open the altar for just encounter and for God to speak and move as He would move. But I believe that God is wanting to say something to us tonight. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. And if we would just open our hearts to receive, God has so much that He wants to download into the hearts of every single person in this room tonight. If you believe that, why don't you go ahead and say amen? Amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking good tonight. You're looking good tonight. If you got no one next to you, you can encourage yourself. You can say, I look good. I know I look good. On this encounter night, I felt the Lord just impress on my heart just to share about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the encounters that we would have with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to share a message with you tonight called Be Filled. Be Filled. And I'd love it if you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 18, just a very small verse that we will start with here tonight, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, be filled. Be filled. Watch out, they might get drunk when you say that. Be filled. This is a Holy Ghost church. We're ready, we're open, we're hungry, we're thirsty. Be filled. That word there in the Greek is be continually being filled with the Spirit of God. That means that a baptism in the Holy Spirit, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, is not just a one-time only experience for one time at a youth camp when we're 10 years old, 15 years old, 12 years old. No, the Holy Spirit wants us to continually have encounters with Him. He always wants to do more, always wants to touch us, always wants to fill us. And He is telling us tonight, I want you to be filled. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, every one of us in this room, probably when we were younger, have some memory of playing a game called Spot the Difference. Give me a wave if you ever played Spot the Difference. Yes, Spot the Difference. If you've never played it before, Spot the Difference is a game where you're presented with two pictures, seemingly identical pictures. They're pictures of the same thing, but in one picture, there's maybe 10 differences to the first picture. And the game is that you have to find all of the differences in the second picture that are different to the first. Spot the Difference is a fun game because it's difficult to spot the difference. These differences are hard to see. There's more than meets the eye. You have to look really, really closely to try and find these differences. You know, sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the differences that encounters make in our lives, when it comes to the difference that the baptism or the fire or the oil or the anointing makes in our lives, sometimes we can think that it's difficult to spot the difference. Sometimes churches in different places preach that, hey, the Holy Spirit and encounters with the Holy Spirit are just an optional extra to the Christian life. We don't really need this every day, every hour, every moment. We don't really need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, continually being filled with His presence, with His anointing. But I want to tell you, as we look throughout the Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit actually makes all the difference. When we look all the way throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, every person who ever did anything for God was touched and anointed by the fire and the power and the oil of the Holy Spirit. The encounters we have in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit make all the difference. This is not just an optional extra. It's not just something that we have to squint to see in your life. When you've been in the presence of God, people will be able to see. People will be able to notice. There will be a shift and a change that comes in every area of your life when you're encountering the Holy Spirit. We see this difference in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. To 4. We know on the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Jumping down to verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. How many believe if those were the last days, we're really in the last days now, 2,000 years later. It shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Jumping down to verse 37, it says, now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said, Peter said to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word and were baptized, and those were added to that day, to their number that day, about 3,000 souls. This is revival taking place on the streets of Jerusalem. And it's interesting that Peter is the one who gets up to preach the gospel and see 3,000 people saved. See, because only a few weeks earlier, Peter had failed Jesus. Peter was supposed to be the leader of the church. He was supposed to be the one who was going to do great things for God. But instead of stepping into his calling a few weeks earlier, he had sort of backed down and turned his back on Jesus, and he had failed Jesus. There were many times before this moment in the upper room that he had the opportunity to lead others in the things of God. And we see he continually messes it up. He continually fails. See, because in our own strength and in our own ability, we don't have what it takes to fulfill the call of God on our lives. Aren't you glad that it's not up to you? I'm sure glad that it's not up to me to fulfill the calling, the anointing, the ability that God wants to do through my life. But you see, on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, there was an anointing that enabled him to do what he could not do on his own. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you remember the first time you ever encountered the Holy Spirit, the first time you were ever filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, I was just watching a TV show. My family had just got saved from a Muslim background, and we had been radically saved in a small town called Palmerston North in New Zealand. And God had changed our lives, changed our hearts, and we were watching Christian television one day when the preacher was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was talking about speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as a 7-year-old girl, there was something in my heart that was hungry for what he was talking about. See, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he starts to stir a hunger in our heart for the things that he wants to give us. Even as I'm talking about his presence tonight, as I'm talking about him, I believe that he's moving on every heart, on every life, beckoning us to come deeper into the things that he has to give us, into the encounter that he wants to walk us into tonight. And so I was so hungry for God, so hungry for this anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon my life as a seven-year-old girl. And I remember as they prayed in the prayer time, just with childlike faith, literally, I just lifted my hands to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And all of a sudden, I started to speak in tongues as a seven-year-old girl. I remember from that time forward, I knew the presence of God with me every day of my life. I had a change in the awareness that I had of the presence of God. I wonder if you remember the first time you ever encountered the Holy Spirit. Do you know the first time you ever encountered the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be the only time you ever encountered the Holy Spirit? In fact, it would be a sad reality if the first time we ever encountered the Holy Spirit was the only time we ever encountered the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He wants us to step into the new things that He wants to do in our hearts and our lives tonight. And so I want to share just about three things that happen when we encounter the Holy Spirit. Encounters with the Holy Spirit firstly give us supernatural power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. No, when I was a young person, I had many encounters with the Holy Spirit at youth conferences and youth camps. I've had the blessing and privilege of being part of Extreme Conference. Anyone been to Extreme Conference? Come on. God moves at Extreme Conference. And as a young person, I remember going to these sorts of conferences and being marked by the fire of God in my own life, where God would give me the power of the Holy Spirit to do what He's called me to do. You see, even today, as a 36-year-old woman, I'm going and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, seeing hundreds of thousands of people saved every year. But as a 14-year-old girl, I remember being at a youth conference and receiving the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I remember being on the floor just as the Holy Spirit was touching me and God was moving upon me, and there was a fire and a boldness and a power that was coming upon me to do what God had called me to do, to preach the gospel. And I remember I went back to my school. And as I went to school and I was talking to my youth pastor, I was like, I really feel like God's called me to start a Christian group at my high school. My youth pastor was like, awesome, go for it. That's great. See, I went to a school of about 2,000 young people and I only knew of two Christians in my whole school, in Geelong, in Victoria. And so I said, okay, I'm going to start this Christian group. It was sort of the early 2000s. And at that time, a lot of the youth ministries across Australia were called something like Boom or Fire or something like this. And so I was like, I need to think of a cool name for my my youth ministry at school, but it can't be Boom. So I'm going to call it Detonate, right? Because the Holy Spirit is going to come and blow this place up, right? And that would probably be okay if I was like an Australian kid, but because I'm half Iranian and half Irish and I wanted to start a religious group named Detonate, the teachers, the principal actually thought there was something going on there. And so I remember I got called into the principal's office and the principal was like, Layla, can you tell me what's going on with your religious group? Detonate, is it? And there was just such a boldness on me. I didn't care what people thought about me. I didn't care what was going on, because all I wanted to do was serve the Lord. All I wanted to do was step into His calling for my life. Do you know what? When the fire of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, there is a stirring in your spirit. There is a stirring in your soul. You can't stay the same way that you came in Jesus' name. You have to step into the calling, the anointing, the purpose, the destiny that God has for you. There is a holy unrest that starts to come to your spirit as you receive the supernatural power of God when we encounter the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we receive when we encounter the Holy Spirit is the supernatural presence of God. John chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. There's a promise of presence. There's a promise of a helper. There's a promise of one who will go with us, go before us, help us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "And this hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." When we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're given the Holy Spirit, we receive the presence of God in our lives. Everywhere that we go, we can be aware of God in us, God with us, God for us, and God moving through us. Now, I was in Paris a couple of years ago preaching at a Persian church. I'm half Iranian, half Irish. I was preaching at this Persian church in Paris, and there was maybe 16 people in the room, just all sitting around on tables, and they were translating me from English into French and then French into Farsi. And for anyone who's ever done any work with translators, any missionaries in the room, you know that that can be a bit dangerous when you're translating into multiple languages, because you're just hoping that it's going to be the same God, the same Jesus, the same gospel that gets all the way through those languages. And to be honest, I was in that room and I was preaching, but I was having a chat with the Lord. I'm like, "God, are you going to move in this place? Like, this does not feel like a very faith-filled atmosphere." You know, I'm sitting in a classroom in France trying to preach the gospel to people, and there's three languages going on, and it doesn't really feel like this is an atmosphere for miracles. And all of a sudden, the Lord told me, he said, "I want you to pray for every single person in this room." Now, how many know when we step out in obedience to what the Lord tells us to do, supernatural power follows, supernatural presence follows, the Holy Spirit backs up what he instructs us to do. And so God came and God moved in that place. We saw one lady who was just crying, and she said, "Hey, can you pray for me? I've been diagnosed with two cancerous tumors in my chest." And so we're like, "Yes, of course we can pray for you. We believe our God is a miracle working God. Our God is a healer. We've seen people healed from cancer before. We would love to pray for you." And so we got around her and we prayed for her, when all of a sudden she just starts shouting. She's like, "Ah!" I'm like, "What's going on, guys? What's happening here?" They started translating back into English, and they said, "Layla, she's saying that she can't find the tumors anywhere. She could feel them before, and right now they've completely disappeared. She cannot find those tumors." Praise God. He is our helper. His presence goes with us. His presence is everywhere that we go. When we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, we carry the power of God to change lives around us. I'm going to invite the worship team back up to join me. The third and final thing that happens when we encounter the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural impact. Now, Acts chapter 5 and verse 14 to 16, it says, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and on mats. But as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were sick and those who were afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." In this passage of scripture, we see that the shadow of the apostles was healing people, because God was making supernatural impact in the lives of the people around him. Do you know what? When we receive the Holy Spirit, when God comes upon us in a powerful way, the Lord gives us supernatural impact in the lives and the places and the spaces around us. Now, a couple of years ago, I was at my dentist in Geelong, and he was a new dentist. I was moving from Adelaide to Geelong, and I went to this new dentist, and he was asking me a little bit about what I do. And as he's asking me, he's talking to me about, you know, church and my PhD and what am I studying and what's this all about. And, you know, his fingers are in my mouth, so I'm trying to explain, "Yeah, I'm doing this right, Bible theology PhD, I'm a preacher," you know, just hoping that, you know, I can share the gospel with him, or that God would touch his life. And we just get talking, and he's asking about everything that I'm doing. And he says to me, "Oh, what church do you go to?" I was like, "Oh, this is going to sound really strange, because I go to a church in Melbourne. We're in Geelong, an hour and 15 minutes away from the church that I go to in Melbourne, but my church in Melbourne is called Numa Church. And he goes, no way. I'm like, yeah. He's like, on Sunday, my girlfriend and I were going to get a banh mi on Bridge Road. We walked by that church on Bridge Road, and as we were walking by, we were looking in the window to try and find out what was going on in there. He said, do you think that's a coincidence? I was like, no. Before I could even say another word, he said, do you think I could come to your church one day? I was like, absolutely, you can come to my church. And I was flying out to America that weekend, so I said, just text me. I would love to connect you with some of my friends and the pastors and leaders there. And so he shows up at the 4 p.m. service on Sunday. He texts me. I connected him with my friends. He gets radically saved, devotes his life to Jesus. About 6 months later, I'm back in church and I've been traveling around and I see on the stage, my dentist is up there on the guitar, playing guitar in our Sunday services. Wow, oh my God. The things that you can do, the supernatural impact that he can have when we simply carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit everywhere that we go.